listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
In this episode, the next few episodes, I want to introduce you to the people here, what makes Save the Marriage what it is. So I'm going to start with myself today, since I'm where it started. I'm going to tell you a little bit because it's kind of an interesting ride for me. It's been an interesting place to be. Here we are at almost 240 episodes of the Save the Marriage podcast. Almost 240 episodes. I had no idea when I started. I thought we might do 20 episodes just to kind of lay out some ways that people could work on their relationship. And after those 20, I realized I had more to say, and each week it appears that I still have something more to say, hopefully to help you move through saving your marriage. I hear from people all the time that have stumbled upon me through the podcast, and people who have told me how they've listened to all of those episodes, which amazes me, and yet here we are, thinking about how I got to this place. I've had a chance to impact tens of thousands of people around the world. We're around somewhere of 100,000 copies of Save the Marriage floating around the world, which is crazy in my mind to think about how that spreads out because of the internet, because of how long I've been here, it's been able to go all around the world in ways that I never imagined when I started this. This all started out the close of the last century, 1999, December 1999, I had a website up. I remember I just finished a short ebook on how to save your marriage, short, meaning it was part of what it is now. And I put that online. And we drove to my parents-in-law for Christmas break. And I remember plugging in my computer to their phone, had to disconnect their phone, plug in the computer, listen to the connecting things on the internet that if you're younger, you would never remember. But there were lots of pops and beeps that let me know that finally connected. And when it connected, I found out that people had already started downloading the material. They'd already started grabbing it even then. So we started 2000. So now it's been 18 years with over 100,000 people, couples impacted around the world. And it kind of blows my mind to think about how that happens and how that continues to be a process when I hear every day from people who are improving and saving their relationship just because they have access to it. I've heard from people that were in countries I had to look on the map to see where they were, who had been impacted by the work. Now I have coaches that are providing coaching for people around the world. Those coaches are some of the voices you're going to hear over the next few weeks because I want you to get to know them. So some of them will be joining me as we talk about who they are, how they got here, and what they have learned about this process of saving marriages while they've been here. So let me tell you a little bit about me. As most people do, I come from a family. I was very fortunate that I came from an intact family. My parents had and still have a very loving relationship that is very respectful and taught me many of the things that I understand about relationships today. So they aren't the reason that I tried to help couples in trouble. But I was in a family that had two distinct groups. I had aunts and uncles who had multiple marriages along the way, broken marriages, and I had cousins who were deeply hurt by the pain of divorce. And I watched them suffer through things that I couldn't imagine. I couldn't understand what had happened because I had known the families my entire life. And when I came into the world of remembering, they were intact families. They were happy families, and suddenly divorce split families apart and caused rifts in cousins and between cousins and in families that I never could understand. I struggled for years to make sense of that. We would go somewhere on a family event, and suddenly people that I loved would be gone, and people that I had known would be gone from the family, and I couldn't understand what to do about that. And so that family background raised the question for me of why do some families work? Let me say that more specifically, why do some marriages work? Because often how the family goes is how the marriage goes. The marriage leads that process off. So my family background was watching it firsthand, watching some of the destruction in the process, but also watching some love. I had two intact grandparents, and I still have an aunt and uncle who are very happily married, and my parents still happily married. And so it gave me almost a dichotomy of watching the loving families and the families that were deeply injured and hurt. Didn't mean they didn't have love, but they were deeply injured and hurt by the splits that were caused. And so after college, I decided that I would be trained as a pastoral counselor. That means that my training was both as a minister and as a therapist. And I specialized in family therapy. The reason I chose family therapy was because in college, I had a professor who started talking about families as systems, not just the individuals in it, but how the system operates as a unit. And it opened my eyes to the fact that all of the individual psychology that I'd been taught wasn't nearly all of the story, and that family systems theory helped me understand the dances and the balances that happen in a family. So in my clinical training, I worked particularly around family systems theory and especially around marriage issues, trying to figure out how do marriages stay together. Not so much why do they come apart, I'd seen that in my childhood, but how do they come together in ways that strengthen and can endure time? So in my training as a therapist, I had several experiences that were transformational. One was the fact that while I was working with couples, I realized that a lot of what I was doing didn't seem to be helping. And two was the realization that it wasn't me. It was the model we were using. There was something wrong with how we were doing family therapy. The other piece that came in was my introduction to the concept of coaching as a profession. I realized after reading an article that that was much more what I was doing. So there I was in the middle of working on my dissertation for my PhD, and I turned to my wife and I said, "This is kind of what I do. This is how I do therapy." I'd been doing therapy at that point for a number of years. And I said, "This is how I do therapy." And so she, with her support, I started doing coaching training. About the time I finished up my PhD, I immediately wrapped into coaching training and did 2 years training as a coach, and realized that even though I was working in the therapist office with couples, I was really working much more as a coach in that approach. And I found that to be much more helpful. Now, over that time, I began to test some ideas. I decided to see if I could figure out some better ways of helping people. More specifically, of helping couples. Because the big hole in the therapy world is couples work. We have very clear statistical evidence that couples work is not particularly effective in making changes. I felt like there had to be a better way. So I began to build it piece by piece. I worked with couples. I worked in groups talking with couples. I did retreats and conferences and began to put together some ideas that seemed to make sense. And that's really the beginnings of how the Save the Marriage system was built. I started with that ebook I told you about that hit in 1999, really 2000. And over the years, I kept adding to it and refining, basically trying to figure out what more do people need. After that, I continued to work to build in more coaching. At that point, I was beginning to work with couples around the world. I was working with individuals who wanted to change their marriage around the world. And at some point, I realized that I could not do that myself. So I brought on some of these voices you will hear in the next few weeks because I needed help. I trained them. They already were trained as excellent coaches. I handpicked coaches from really around the world to be the couples coaches in my program, the people who would work with the people who came through my program. Handpicked them as already trained and ready, and then we refined their training with my techniques and my methods so that they could help people who are working through our system. After that, I created some other programs along the way, some workshops and online programs that are still available, a couple of online coaching programs. You might have heard of my VIP virtual coaching program, which is designed for people to get coaching at as low a cost as is possible from anywhere in the world. And that program has grown and grown and continues to develop tools and techniques for people to use. And then I've written several books. I'm now waiting for my fifth book to come out, and I'm working on others now. But the two that were marital books, one was How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps laid out my 3C process of connecting with your spouse, of changing yourself, and of creating a new path. And it outlined that whole approach so that people could very easily understand where they needed to move in order to save their marriage. One of the things I realized along the way was a big disruptor in marriages was affairs. And so I wrote a book called Recovering from the Affair. It was a book that was designed for both people to have pieces that fit for them. Not for one, but for both people to have understandings of what had happened to create the possibility of the affair and how each person needed to move through in recovering from the affair. I've also had a foot in the positive psychology world of looking at how people thrive in life no matter what happens to them. Part of my understanding is that even in the most difficult times, we can build the muscles. In fact, because of the difficult times, we can build the muscles that help us take on life. That's my principle of thriving. And Thrivology, my Thrivology podcast, was a piece of that, which already is over 200 episodes also. And then my book, Thrive Principles, which gathered 15 strategies for how people could thrive. Then I have a book called The Immutable Laws of Living that's just recently come out in ebook and will soon come out in paperback that lays out these invisible laws that you may not even know exist, but if you violate them, life gets tough. We find it a lot easier when we navigate those laws by following them, kind of like the law of gravity. It's a whole lot better on your body if you abide by the law of gravity than you keep trying to violate it. And I can tell you that from the voice of experience with many wounds all over my body. And I also have an upcoming book that won't make it out until October. That book is about the forgive process, which is my process for helping people let things go. Currently, I'm working on a book about how you make life matter. You can hear more about that at my Thrivology podcast. And that is more about how to find meaning in life and how to find your deeper purpose in life and how to live a bigger impact in life. All of those pieces have grown out of a starting point of me trying to figure out how do people do better in life? How do people do better in their relationships? How do people grow further in their life? How do they take on life's difficulties? Because that's the guarantee. There will be difficulties. How do they take them on and win and move forward with making a difference? I have a fundamental belief that marriages make a difference when they work out. I believe, and these are some of the beliefs I wanted to share today, just to let you know kind of how I think through this process. I believe that a marriage is best preserved and improved rather than being damaged and in pain. I believe that once a couple has come together, there are some serious ramifications psychologically, emotionally, in the household, in their finances, and all around when you take it apart. I watched it over and over. I never saw a marriage in my family that did not leave a path of destruction behind it and pain behind it. And that continued on in my clinical life, that when marriages failed, there was more damage than either person could see coming. And so it reinforced my belief that marriage is best preserved and improved because I do believe that there is something fundamental that happens in a marriage and your self-identity that happens. Which brings me to my second belief that most people really don't know what marriage should be. It's a fundamental flaw we have. You know, when people get married, we basically have a short ceremony, pat them on the back, send them on their way, and hope they figure it out along the way. Sometimes I think it's because others don't know what to tell them. But the fact is that there is a knowledge base that we all seem to be lacking before we get married and often continue to lack after. And that is my basic belief that marriage is about creating a we. That's why it's best preserved, because when you've created a we, if you pull it apart, you break it. the we, like we are in this together. We are a team. We have each other's backs. We're a unit. I mean, that's how things are looked at by law. When you get married, you create a new entity that the law sees as we, the two of you. And so that we, that place of understanding that, seems to fail us in our culture. We don't understand that. Many people don't even get that. When I explain it to people, they go, oh, I see that. They just didn't know that was what they were headed for. And when you don't know that, you enter in as you and me. And that's a great place to start a relationship, you and me. The problem is you and me will eventually become you versus me if you don't make it to we. It's inevitable. And so we have to find a way to get there, because if we don't even know that's what we're trying to get to, it makes sense that we'll fail getting there. So my process has always been about how we get to we. Because number three, I do believe that change is possible. I do believe in the capacity of healing. I believe in the capacity of forgiving, which is why I wrote a process about that. I believe that couples can find a way to a better place, that it is possible to truly change. Some of my colleagues don't believe much in change. Some of the couples I see don't believe there can be a change. Many spouses are absolutely sure that their spouse cannot change, and I disagree. The reason I disagree is because I've seen it over and over, in situation after situation, where people can and do make changes. They just have to figure out how to do it and what that change has to look like. Which brings us to my fourth piece, which are that families are best served by healthy and loving marriages. Families, kids, grandparents, the couple themselves. Families are best served by loving and healthy marriages. And by the way, a corollary to that is that communities are best served by families that have healthy and loving marriages as the core. Number five, I believe that change can start with just one person making the change. This is one of those where I have radically departed from many of my colleagues who believe that both people have to begin working to change a marriage. Long ago, I realized that in any action, somebody has to start it. Along the way, some people have said, so you're thinking I can save my marriage completely without my spouse being involved? My response is absolutely not. I'm not crazy. But I do know that any one person can start a process and it grows. I always think of a marriage about being a dance between two people, probably with some not so great steps involved, but two people are dancing. If one person changes their dance steps, the other person has to change the dance steps too. So if the marriage hasn't been going well, if the dance hasn't been going well, you can always change the steps and bring the marriage back to a better place. And one person can start the process. One person can't finish the process, but one person can start the process if they know how to do it. So my process has been always about how to help even one person work on it. Now, it's great if both people decide to do it, but many people coming to my site are there because their spouse is resistant. And so I created techniques and methods and understandings based on that that can help both people, but can also allow one person to address it. Which brings me to number six. I believe that at the end of the day, we all want to believe that regardless of the outcome, we've all done the best we can where we are. I believe that a fundamental piece of life is being able to say, I did all I could. I did the best I can. Now, if a marriage turns around, to be able to say, I did all I could and I got it back to here. And if a marriage still can't turn around, to be able to at least say, I gave it my best shot. One of the saddest moments for me is when people contact me and say, if you can guarantee me that my marriage will be saved, I will join your process. Because I have to respond, I can guarantee you that if you do nothing, it will not be saved. I can't guarantee the opposite, but I do know that I'll walk with you as long as you want to do everything you can to save your relationship. And I also know that many Many times we are successful when somebody was pretty sure it wouldn't change. But in order to make the change, you just need tools, you need knowledge, you need some guidance, and you need commitment. What you'll notice about those four pieces is that we can provide the tools, the knowledge, and the guidance, but only you can provide the commitment. Commitment has to come from outside of us. I could have all the tools, the techniques, and guidance that's possible, but unless somebody steps up and raises their hand and steps in, I can't do anything about it. So the fact is, if you've got the commitment, we've got the tools, the knowledge, and the guidance. And over the next few weeks, now that you know a little bit more about what drives me, my desire to make marriages come back together, to bring families back into love and healing, you'll hear from some of my coaches to discover what drove them to this place. We all have a story of why we do this, and it's all very personal. We all have learned things along the way that can help others. So the next few weeks are so you have a chance to hear some other voices of my coaches who have learned how to help you walk through this process. Because we all, as a team, stand ready to help you save your marriage. We're ready to do that. If you want to get started now, grab my guide at Save the Marriage, savethemarriage.com. My whole system is available right there, savethemarriage.com. And let me just tell you, as you're going through the process, I'm going to offer you a couple of things. One is a free week of my VIP virtual coaching program. Sign up for it. It's a free week, a free gift. If you decide after a week that it's just not what you want, that's no problem. That's great. At least you got some tools and resources. If you decide to go on, that's great too. We have a continuing process for you. You also have a chance to claim, especially if you're in the United States, a free session with one of my coaches. You do that as you're getting your information. So you just have to click a button, tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll match you up and make sure that somebody contacts you. Take advantage of that. If you're ready to make the commitment, be in there, be all in, show up and make sure that we do the best we can to help you do the best you can to save your marriage. Remember to start the process at savethemarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.